This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy, but being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care, and BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
All right. Welcome you to Porch Talk. We are in Birmingham, Alabama at the Firehouse. I got Eric Wallace here with me. And I first met Eric at the Blip Show in, at Bo's place in Tuscaloosa at Druid City Brewing. And I was excited about the work he has going on here. And I've been excited and been listening to previous bands and works he's done in the past. So Eric, it's good to have you on, brother.
Man, thanks for coming all this way.
Yeah, man. So Birmingham born and raised?
Yes indeed. My dad is from Bessemer, and my mom's from St. Louis originally, but they met and they lived in Southside when I was born, and then I ended up going to Homewood schools in mm-hmm. Birmingham Southern College.
Great, man. So like just throughout high school, how old was you when you first got involved with music? How'd that start for you?
Man, for me it started when I was a young kid. I took piano lessons like most people do, mm-hmm. and it was not very much fun. if my old piano teacher's listening to this by some chance, I'm sorry. It wasn't you, it was me. And I was really good at piano, but I can't play a lick anymore because I just didn't want to practice. I wanted to play guitar.
Yeah.
And I was probably 12 or 13 when my dad, it's not sitting in here right now, it's upstairs, but when my dad took me to get my first guitar, and I just sat there and taught myself how to do it. It was the early internet days, so couldn't really look up tabs. Mm-hmm. It was all about just trying to figure out how to play Sweet Home Alabama or whatever.
Right.
And I'll never forget, I was probably 14 or 15 because I had to be dropped off, but I'll never forget that moment when I played like an AC/DC song and my buddy Scott was keeping the beat to it mm-hmm. in his basement one day, just like, oh my God, that's the moment. And you know, to tie it all into what I do with my life now, it's facilitating other people being able to have that moment.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. Like when I picked up guitar, it was kind of the same thing. It was my grandma took me to DC Music in Columbus, and the guy, he taught classical guitar lessons upstairs, and so he was helping me pick out a guitar.
Yeah,
I'm left-handed.
Oh. So there and, was one guitar for you to have.
No, and he was like, I recommend you playing right-handed. He was like, how many friends you got play guitar? I was like, two. He's like, right-handed? Said, yeah. He's like, why don't you learn right-handed? Then you don't always have to have yours with you.
Did you?
I did.
Awesome.
And so he was like, you got more dexterity in your left hand anyway.
And it didn't mess with you.
Mm-mm.
I have taught three kids how to play right-handed that are left-handed.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. But also, I mean, the other thing is, one of the fun things about being a guitar player is walking into Highland Music, mm-hmm. you know, killing an hour. And if you're a left-handed guitar player, you're completely robbed of that.
That is true.
So I just teach them how to do it right-handed.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, I didn't have any science behind it other than that at first, but it's worked out.
And just like you said, man, I'd go upstairs, and this went on for about 2 or 3 weeks, you know, meet once a week to do lessons, and it was classical training, and I was like, I want to throw up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I just wanted to rock. You know, I was in the punk rock at the time, Offspring and all that, and I was like, I want to do what those guys are doing. YouTube and guitar, Ultimate Guitar was coming out, so you could actually look up what people were doing.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, well, I don't think I need this. And so it was the self-taught way, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, moving on from there, coming out of high school, did you have any projects high school?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they all sucked. I think the first time I ever played in front of everybody was at, we were maybe in ninth grade at the high school talent show, doing covers, just like stupid punk covers, you know. And yeah, I guess coming out of high school and going into college, I went to Birmingham Southern, and that's when I really started trying to form bands and get together and play at Cave Nine, which was such a, you know, Birmingham without Cave Nine during that time in my life would have been a totally different place.
I think I saw a sticker on one of the doors around here of Cave Nine. Is that still around today?
No, it, in fact, a lot of the inspiration for me, when I bought this building, doing this and having a space where you could eventually have shows, was Cave Nine closing. So, yeah, I think it was maybe 2008, 2009, something like that.
Was that around like Bottle Tree and all that?
It was before pre-Bottle Tree.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. You could do a whole series with Aaron Hamilton on Cave Nine shows.
That might be a thing to do.
Yes, it would. It would be a great thing to do.
Yeah. So just moving on from there, what did it look like? Was Lee Baines coming into the picture? Or?
You know, I didn't start playing in that band. I think I played in that band from like 12 to 18, something like that. Before that, I played in a band called Wildcat Revival that was a very, very much just a kind of like a, just a punk slash rock and roll, experimental rock and roll band that we toured a lot. My goal in college with music was to get in the van, you know, to make records.
Is that what you were studying at Birmingham Southern?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And pretty much me and the rest of that band, who I think we went through it at one point, there were 14 different people who played in that band at one time because we would just tour any chance we got, and it was me, my friend Nathan, and basically whoever else would hang out with us for 5 weeks at a time, and we drove our van until it literally caught fire and burned to the ground in Poplarville, Mississippi. That's where that happened. But that was always my thing, was tour, and I had known Lee from being kids, and so he was looking for a guitar player. I joined that band for some long years. We did a lot of touring. Those guys are still about, hopefully back at it soon now that the pandemic is maybe coming to an end.
Yeah, I'm just waiting to see what the Delta variant. Then they're already talking about a Ligma or.
Oh, good.
Lambda.
Great.
And I was like, yeah.
Hopefully by the time people hear this, there will be another great plague to worry about.
Yep. Yeah.
But, yeah, man. And now I'm playing with Chris, Taylor Hollingsworth, Will Stewart, Wes McDonald, and the Blips. That's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, right when I heard about that project and I saw who was involved, I was like, God, Birmingham just decided to make a super group.
Everybody says that. I kind of feel like that's like a joke. But, yeah, man, it's fun to play with all those guys because everybody just, you know, you walk in the room, you set up your gear, and then it's like, all right, let's get to work. And it's fun, it's efficient, and I mean, we're all having a blast doing it. So.
Yeah. And just a little bit about how that came together. Was that between Chris and Will? Or?
Yeah, Chris. I mean, Chris is this great sort of, he's this force that like, he's got this amazing way of gluing people together that need to be together doing something. And I think it was like Will talking to Taylor, or Chris talking to Will, Chris talking to Taylor, and then just a couple of text messages. And we were, you know, of course, Wes has a great studio that we can practice in. And
that's right.
I think we were practicing, we might have rehearsed from like October 19 till January of 20, and we started making the record maybe at the beginning of February.
Had the album release party.
Yeah, had that great album release party on the day that
the
pandemic happened. What a great time. So yeah, man, it's been fun.
Yeah. And then had Secret Stages lined up, and
yeah, then the selfish drummer he just decided to break his arm. So yeah, that's that cleared my calendar for today.
Yeah. Well, man, let's move. I know this building and what you have going on here is a big part of your heart and a big part of your life now. And so, tell me about did the building come first, or did the idea of what's done here come first?
You know, the idea has been constantly evolving, and hopefully, always will be. But I think some of the core things are still really intact from when I did move here, which was in 2009. August of 2009, there was nothing else in Avondale at the time. This was just kind of a random place to be. And I lived in an apartment on 40th Street at the time. I used to ride my bike around here. And also at the time I was working in restaurants, playing in bands, and teaching a lot of guitar lessons, which is something I had just started doing almost randomly in college. I worked at a restaurant, and I would get to know people who knew that I was a guitar player and just asked me to come and could I teach their son. And I didn't think I could, but once I started doing it, their friends would reach out, and it turned into this really fun thing that I was really good at. Mm-hmm. But that I had literally put no thought into. You know, I was approaching it like exactly. At that time, I was maybe 21, 22, so I wasn't that far removed from being a complete beginner myself. And so I was able to kind of harness some of the things that really made me fall in love with guitar, very few of those things being music theory related. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I was able to teach in a way that was probably a lot different than the way most people might teach an instrument. And I had a lot of success doing it and fun, and was able to, and I'm still able to, watch some really cool kids grow into really cool adults and see how music grows with them in their life. And that's been a really special thing for me. So at that time in 2009, a big part of having a space like this before moving downtown was like a thing that people did, it was going to be cost efficient to live and work in the same space. Mm-hmm. Right. And that was the dream, have a place where bands could play, where my band could practice, I could teach, and I could live. And that's how it all started.
Yeah. And so just a little bit about the mission statement to give folks an idea. So I toured around upstairs. Have these private little rooms set up there for what, one-on-one lessons and even some recording.
Mm-hmm.
Then got a nice outside patio just to hang out.
Yeah. And then there are two spaces that are a little bit bigger where we can full band setup. So you can jump in and flip a switch and your band's practicing, all soundproofed. And that's another great teaching tool. You know, when you're able, like I told you a minute ago, when you're able to facilitate that moment where two young people are playing together, somebody's providing rhythm, somebody's providing melody, it's like, okay.
It goes back to that AC/DC.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so I basically have done my best to build this space out to be a place where that can happen.
And just from there now, like, I mean, you've got, like, Will Stewart's involved. I think Taylor's done some lessons over here now. So, I mean,
like, yeah, we're getting everybody involved. And, again, you know, so much of my experience touring in my 20s and 30s was just, you know, all of your friends are basically doing the same thing, and everybody's busting it to wash dishes, 10 bar, up all night, whatever you can so that you can fund your touring, your records, whatever. And me, you know, I'm making a sustainable living wage by playing guitar all week and having, and not just making a sustainable wage, but fulfilling myself as a human being.
That's right.
So not only do I think musicians make the best teachers because they have a wealth of experience to draw from, I think that Birmingham is full of some of the most talented people. You mentioned Taylor and Will just being like mind-blowingly good at what they do. Mm-hmm. Abby Anderson has started teaching some drum lessons here, and my buddy Stuart Norman, who plays in a bunch of bands. Everybody kind of has a little bit of a different approach, a little bit of a different style and interest that they're into. So I really envision a place that's going to be diverse, where anybody's interest can be served by somebody with a lot of talent and a lot of common ground.
Yeah. And that's it, man. Like, you know, when I'm describing Birmingham, and like, thanks to the podcast, and I've been able to sit down with a lot of musicians from Birmingham, and as I get to know more about the scene, and I get to thinking, I was like, okay, I'm almost done. Right. Yeah, I've talked to a dozen of them, you know. I got to be getting, no. Like, yeah. This is literally, like, in my opinion, the Mecca of Alabama when it comes to music.
Well, let's not let too many people find out about that.
Yeah.
Everybody from Nashville is going to move down here.
Yeah. But, and it really happened when Taylor Hollinsworth and Brad Armstrong, they came to Columbus, Mississippi and played at the Sunstroke House. And I was unfamiliar with both of them at the time. And I went to that show and I was like, okay, that's really good. Well, that's beyond that. That's great. And then you start coming over to Birmingham for shows and seeing just all the local talent. And it's like, oh, goodness.
Yeah.
And then I start trying to bring the podcast over here. And I was like, we got to let people know what's going on.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, yeah, it is kind of, it's crazy because, you know, I'm from here. You have to learn the context. But, yeah, you can walk into Little Italy and there will be seven people sitting there and Taylor is up on a stage just whipping ass on guitar.
Yeah.
You know, it's a cool place.
Yeah. And so just a little more about here is, like, let's just say a listener or viewer now is, they want to know, hey, I'd like to get my kid involved here. How does that work as far as?
So we, again, you asked about the mission statement earlier didn't even get there, but, so 2 years ago, I used to live here, and I moved out. My wife and I live just down the road and have a little dude who's now 1 year old as of yesterday.
Oh, happy birthday to him.
Happy birthday, Jesse. And the plan is that part of my life started was to fully dedicate my former living space to this mission. And couldn't have done it without some really great people involved, but we put together a nonprofit. Might not could have done it without a pandemic happening either, because that was a lot of good time to do background work. Because if you when you go to start your nonprofit, you'll see that there's a lot of background work to do. A bunch of great people behind me on the board. We built the nonprofit. We did a really successful fundraiser in December of 2020. We raised nearly $60,000, so we put it all to use building out that facility that you've seen upstairs, and everything else is going to scholarships. So our two big missions are providing quality music education and giving sustainable wage to working musicians like Will, Taylor, Abby, Stu, me, whoever else works here in the future. And the other big thing is, for me, when I was teaching here by myself, you couldn't ignore the fact that we are where we are, and every single one of my students was white. And that's like an accessibility barrier that I would really like to see removed. And as we've been able to fund some scholarships and become a true community center, reaching out to students in North Avondale, East Avondale, South Avondale, it's really, really inspiring, not only to see some kids get to learn how to play, that may have situations where having a guitar or having a drum to beat on was just not a possibility until they walked through the door. You know, for me, it was always, what do you want to do after school? You know, play baseball, soccer, guitar. Like, it's a possibility. You just got to practice it. Mm-hmm. It's really a different level of inspiration for me to see kids coming from places where that's not a foregone conclusion of something that they can do, pick up an instrument and say, oh man, I never thought I could do this. Mm-hmm. And now I can. So it's, that is something that's really important to me and everyone who's involved. The other thing that I've had a lot of fun observing is just with however you feel about the world that we live in, kids see it in a much different way. And, you know, I look around sometimes at all my friends and we all kind of look the same and do the same stuff and mm-hmm. eat the same food. And you see two kids that sit in a room playing rock music together that are going home to two very different situations and making a connection despite any other barrier that you might imagine as an adult is really cool. And I think that growing up in a situation where you have a few of those, even just a few of those experiences, is going to shape you into a little bit more of an individual as you get older. And that's, for me, at the end of the day, when you talk about music education, it's really not about mastery. It's about your life in music and how music shapes your life as you become an adult. That doesn't mean that you're going to get a graduate degree in a classical guitar. It doesn't mean that you're going to join Guns N' Roses, but you know, you can probably relate when I say that I think about all of the most meaningful connections and relationships in my life, and music has something to do with just about all of them.
That's it.
That if we can do that here for 55, 60 kids every year, that's going to be pretty awesome.
That's going to be game changing. I mean, that'll have a cultural impact on Avondale.
Yeah.
And I was saying, and you mentioned it earlier, you know, just sports. And I played up to the time I was about 16 years old, and then I quit about the time I started taking guitar seriously. And then it came, like, revelation is, like, friends that I grew up playing ball with. Why? Why are you quitting?
Right.
Well, I don't think I'm that great. And I'm like, okay, we got the St. Louis Cardinals and Atlanta Braves at our practice watching JJ, but when it comes my senior year, they're not going to be there to watch me.
They're getting a hot dog.
Yeah. And I was like, that's just facts. But I was like, this music thing, and I'm starting to make friends who play music. And I was like, this is something that'll last. Because not only that, it's and man, I've been playing out for over 10 years now. It's like, even the friends you make or the fans you have is like, it builds a whole world.
Oh yeah.
And like you say, like, the more time I've got over a decade invested in music now, and just the relationships and the most meaningful things, music was a big part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something that anyone can do. I truly believe that. Mm-hmm. And some people just never try. You know, how many times do you talk to somebody your parents' age or older that's like, man, I wish I would have learned how to play something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the thing to me, that let's get as many kids in here to just try this as we can.
And even with adults, man, it's like, man, I hear the old lie all the time. Well, when you get too old, you can't teach a dog a new trick. Well, I don't think I agree with that.
I mean, I've had an 85-year-old student before. He may not be playing at secret stages tonight, but he's having a good time with it.
That's just it. And, I mean, I think about what Will's doing tonight since Secret Stages. The guy he's playing with, that guy hasn't been playing music that long.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, he recently picked it up within the last decade.
Yeah.
So.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it.
If it's what you want, go for it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not like you have to rely on your knees not giving out or whatever.
That's another thing about it. It's a little bit easier on the body.
Yeah, much easier. Yeah, it's like when I hear kids complaining about their, you know, their sore fingertips. I'm like, come on.
Yeah, it could be way worse.
Could be way worse.
So, about how long the nonprofit was established? 2 years ago?
Just last year.
Just like, okay, pandemic.
Yeah, in 2020.
And so, and then that really brought the funds into where you could really see the vision coming to fruition.
Right.
And so you also mentioned, is this going to be a live venue as well?
Yeah, and we've been doing shows down here on a very DIY basis for about 10 years now. There's a great community here called DIY Birmingham that is an excellent steward of the venue space that we have. And once we get through the summer, we're gonna start swinging that up again. That's another really cool thing for kids to be learning how to play in a space where while they're walking out with their guitar, they're going to see a band loading in.
That's right.
You know, so, and it's been cool to see former students put bands together and come play here, you know? We're just going to keep on plugging away, being that little musical hub right here on 41st Street.
There you go.
Yeah.
And so, well, just in Avondale and the area is like, once again, just going back to folks who may be interested or maybe to donate, or they may know somebody that could possibly be a student.
Like, yeah.
How do they get in touch?
We have a website called firehousecac.org. There's a registration form, sign up sheet there. My phone number is on there. So reach out to us there. There's a donate button too. Everything that you donate goes into that scholarship fund. Again, we do income-based lessons for anyone who lives in our service area. Mm-hmm. So that's what your donation goes to fund. And even if you don't live in our service area and you have a motivated kid between the ages of 9 and 18 is kind of the range of kids that we're trying to serve, and you want them to learn an instrument from a highly talented musician right here in Birmingham, reach out to us and we'll make it happen. We're real excited about filling up that new space.
Yeah. And just back to your music, so the Blips, y'all already have the second album near ready?
We're working on it. We haven't started recording yet, but I'd say we have more than half the songs kind of in the tank, bouncing around.
Cool, man.
And we work fast, so.
Yeah.
Once that drummer's wrist heals, it'll be we'll be churning it out. But yeah, you can get the first one. It's available through Cornelius Chapel, and you can stream it without giving us a dime. So I'd recommend it.
Yeah, might change your life.
It might not, but it might. It might shape your life in some small way.
Well, dude, like, just with your music right now, is the Blips? Have you got any other projects?
Yeah, man, I'm working on a couple things. I am like a C+ drummer, so I'm gonna fit in great. I'm filling in with my couple of my best buddies have a band called Dommel Mossel. Adam Stewart and Abby Stewart and Abby also are teachers here, and so I'm filling in on drums with them. One of my older students, who is an awesome musician, he's in college now, has a band called Post Consumer Waste. That's this like really cool punk band. I'm playing drums in that, and we just put an album together. And two of my best buddies from Wildcat Revival, we've started in the pandemic. Just a bunch of songs that I've written. We've got a band coming together that I will say no more about for the time being, but you know, I've got a fairly active musical life moving right now. Got a lot of irons in the fire. Then there's that dude at the house that keeps me pretty occupied playing guitar a lot too, because he doesn't want me to put it down.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
What about just the life for you during 2020? I mean, it was pretty fruitful as far as like getting this established. I mean, just like, what are some of the biggest takeaways from not being able to tour?
Yeah, I had very recently, at the time of the pandemic coming to a close, or putting my life to a close, I had already made the decision to quit touring, really to focus on my own life, focus on doing this. And that pandemic happened, and it kind of couldn't have come at a better time for me. My wife was pregnant. Got to spend a whole lot of time at home with her. I got to spend a whole lot of time doing things that you can do from a computer. Business things. Finished the Blips album in my closet, you know, singing background vocals and doing guitar overdubs at the house. And yeah, you know, we were like 5 months into having moved into a new house. So I had plenty to work on at home.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
Yeah, man, I talked to all my friends now that they were just like so morbidly depressed. And, I feel really bad for everyone who had to deal with it the way they did, and I mean, and are continuing to. But man, I couldn't have gotten any luckier.
Yeah, it's kind of the same. It was and I really hate to say it this way, because I mean, it didn't work that way for a lot of people, but it really was kind of a blessing in disguise for me, as far as like the work I was personally working on and just having a little extra time to sit down and flesh everything out.
Yeah. For sure.
And I mean, like with the pandemic, bands and musicians, they weren't moving. So it was, hey, you want to come talk on my microphone for a little while?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, and you can do this over the phone if you need to, you know?
And that's it.
Yeah, it is. And I almost feels weird talking about the pandemic like it's in the past, because I think we're about to have to revisit some of all the rules. But unfortunately, it's... I was still able to teach, did a lot of Zoom lessons during that time, and just had a lot of support from all of my students and again, everyone on the board of the nonprofit. We were just plugging away. So
cool, man. Well, is there anything else to touch on?
Man, yes, I will plug a really cool event that we're going to do in a couple of weeks, 2 weeks from today, August the 21st, we're doing this block party where we're gonna do some tours of the new space upstairs. 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. There's gonna be a couple musical workshops followed by some just bands playing all day. Mm-hmm. And have some food trucks, Eugene's and Ono Ice. And just a lot of great music and food and hanging out all day. Going to be outside, so hopefully it won't be too hot. But everybody's out there roaming around right now at Secret Stages in the heat, so we can handle it.
That's right.
Yeah, so that's called the Firehouse Block Party. It's a cool way just to come stop by, see what we've been working on, check out some cool bands. Two of those bands that I was mentioning that I'm filling in with are playing, so it'll be a busy day for me.
Yeah.
Another cool thing that we're doing that's actually ending that morning is the series out on our mural that maybe you've seen. We partnered with the Civil Rights Institute to do this thing called Who's on the Wall, where they put together a program once a month on each character who's in the mural. And the final one on Spider Martin, the legendary civil rights era photographer, is that morning, the 21st. If you hit our website, again, firehousecac.org, you can grab tickets to any of those things. The block party is, of course, free to all of our students and all their families. So, yeah, come on down, check it out. And even if you don't make it out to one of those things, just check out what we're doing on the internet, swing by, stick your head in.
Yes, you can follow and keep up with the Firehouse on the social medias, right?
Yeah, right. At Firehouse Community on Instagram and Facebook. And if you just search Firehouse CAC for Community Arts Center, then you'll find us.
Perfect, man.
Yeah.
Well, anything else to plug before we walk it out?
Jeez, I got nothing.
Well, good, dude. Eric, thank you so much for taking the time, man.
Thank you.
News and notes. Thank you so much for listening to Porch Talk. If you haven't done so already, I would ask that you would rate and review the show on whatever podcast app it is that you're listening to on and share it with your friend. You can support the vinyl with the pressing company that I'm using. I do not know. They said 3 months to later because of COVID. They're shorthanded and they really just can't give a deadline. So, storefrontier.com/porchtalk. If you want to get you a shirt, support the cause, have some cool t-shirts, beer koozie, water koozies, Coke koozies, whatever you want to drink. And we got some different things. Storefrontier.com/porchtalk. You can help support the release of the vinyl. All right, I'm going to get out of here with Gold Rush by The Blips. Peace out.
Enough on your plate. Mundane meals shouldn't be one of them. Get an endless variety of the freshest, best-tasting food from award-winning chefs delivered to your door with Cook Unity, all at a fraction of the cost and time you're spending now. Cook Unity offers hundreds of meals prepared by their roster of all-star chefs. Simply choose from their innovative variety or let them surprise you. Menus are updated weekly and new chefs are always joining the team. So you'll have fun discovering new favorites while avoiding the dreaded dinner rut. No cleanup or meal planning, just easy and effortless meals delivered fully cooked that heat up in as little as 5 minutes. Speaking of easy, Cook Unity is flexible and commitment-free. Skip deliveries, pause, or cancel anytime. Take a load off and leave your meal prep to Cook Unity. Affordable food crafted by award-winning chefs delivered straight to your door. Go to cookunity.com/podcast or enter code podcast before checkout for 50% off your first week.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy. But being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care. And BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today to get 10% off your first month.